All right, you guys, welcome. This is Karen Curry, and I am so excited to be hosting Evelyn Levinson tonight, and I'm super excited to be bringing one of my STAR students on the line who's going to be sharing with us information about the human design system tonight. As you guys sit back and get comfortable, make sure you've got your human design chart with you. If for some reason you did not get a human design chart, if you would go to humandesignforsuccess.com, you will see at the humandesignforsuccess.com website that there is a link on the left-hand side that you can click on that will take you to the place where you can fill in your information and get your free chart if you don't already have your free chart. So make sure you get your free chart at some point so that you know exactly who you really are. So, okay, without further ado, I would like to introduce you to Evelyn Levinson. Evelyn has a master's in public administration from Drake University. On top of that, she's got an international MBA. On top of that, she used to work for Cellular One. She was one of the vice presidents of customer care. She was rapidly promoted at Cellular One. Within 6 months of working there, she was part of the ground level administration that really took this company to a whole incredible level at the time when the company first came out. She has traveled all over the world. She has an extensive background in working with international companies. She has an extensive corporate background. She has a background in accounting. She has a background in QuickBooks, and that's just the start, okay? In addition to having this extensive business background, she's also a human design specialist and also very recently completed her health and wellness coach training. So Evelyn has sort of shifted gears, as you can see, and as I'm sure tonight she'll tell you in her story of who she is and why she shifted gears. Evelyn has shifted gears and really focused more on taking her background in business and applying it now more to personal growth and development and helping others really transform their lives and helping them live the life that they really are designed to live, and bringing them the peace and the joy and the abundance and the alignment and even the profit that they deserve living the life as themselves, as the truth of who they really are. And I'm not even going to say anything else, Evelyn. I know your story is incredible, and I know you have a lot to share tonight, and I don't want to eat up the time that you have. But just so that you guys know, if you want to learn more about Evelyn's extensive biography, go to her website, Human Design for Success. You will be blown away. And it's just my extreme pleasure and my honor to have you here, Evelyn. It's just been so fun to watch you learn, and it's really exciting for me to watch you step out and really begin to do the work that I know that you're created to do and that you do so well.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you very much. What a great introduction. I so appreciate what you do to help people like me, developing lightworkers, to reach out and make a difference in people's lives. So thank you. And to everyone on the call, welcome. I really thank you and I honor you for being here, really for making the time and the effort, because I know it takes both. And the fact that you are here tells me that you're looking for something that you haven't found yet. You're looking for information. You're looking for answers. You're looking for inner guidance and how to trust your inner guidance. And if you're like most of my clients, and I kind of suspect that you are, you're basically looking for ways to make your life better. And if so, then you've really come to the right place, because we're going to have some fun tonight and you are going to learn some very useful information that you can start using immediately. Karen covered all the basics about having your human design chart and class notes, so I won't go over any of that. So let me say that we will cover a lot of information this evening, and here's how it's going to go. First, I'll tell you a little bit about myself and why I use and love human design and how knowing your design can make a huge difference in your life. And then we'll talk about each of the five types in human design and what the correct decision-making and action-taking strategy is for each type. And this is where the class notes will come in handy for you. I've left a few blanks on the class notes for you to fill in as we go through the information. I will give examples for each of the types, and you will begin to understand how knowing your type will help you manage the impact that you have on other people and understand your own behaviors. It can make a huge improvement in your relationships and in your life. So why do I teach human design, and why do I use it in my coaching practice, and why do I have so much respect for it? Well, it's really because I've learned something about life in my 55 years on this planet. I've learned that life is all about choices. We really have choices in every moment, and the choices that we make determine the life experiences that we have. Now, you've probably heard this before, and it's just really so true. We are truly powerful creators of our own reality. But what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for someone else. You know, something that prompts one person to blossom and thrive, you've probably known those people who seem to shine in a crisis. Well, things that will help them shine in a crisis may completely devastate someone else. We're all really quite different. And understanding who you are and how you best operate will make a huge difference in you making the right choices so that you can have the life that you want, a life that you truly love. So I'd like to give you a few examples from my own life. When I was growing up, I was actually very lucky. I was pretty naturally good at school. But I also made a deliberate choice to apply myself. It wasn't, you know, like a conscious one at the time, but it was kind of. I mean, I really decided I wanted to do well in school, and so I applied myself. And there were kids who were certainly brighter than I was, but they didn't apply themselves, and they actually didn't do well in school. And isn't it really true that some of the most successful business people in our country's history were not actually brilliant geniuses? They just made a conscious choice to succeed, and they kept applying themselves until they reached that success. Now, the big choices that we make in life have a huge impact on our experience in life, and marriage is certainly one of those, and so is divorce. I got married at the age of 21. It was actually the same weekend that I graduated from college. I don't know, it seemed like a good idea at the time. But over time, it became apparent to me that the marriage wasn't really working for me. But I was raised to be a good girl and to work hard to make things work. But the truth was I was really losing myself by staying in the marriage. One of the most personally significant and empowering choices that I have ever made was leaving that marriage. But it was also one of the hardest things that I've ever done. The point that I want to underscore here is that I found a way to choose to be both good and honor my values and do the right thing on one side, and to also take care of myself at the same time, that those choices didn't have to be mutually exclusive, even though sometimes it felt like it. And in my human design chart, which I learned, you know, in the last couple of years, I have both caring and commitment in my chart. Plus, I have a martyr profile. So it's very possible and easy for me to lose myself in caring for someone else, which is what happened. Had I known then what I know now, I wouldn't have struggled for so long and so hard to figure out what the right thing was to do for myself. Now, in my professional career, I naturally went into management positions, which is quite correct for my type as a projector. As Karen mentioned, I was vice president of Cellular One. I was also vice president of a software development company and partner in a small consulting firm. Now, among the many things that I did in these jobs, I created manuals. I created manuals for customer service procedures. I created manuals for software use. I worked for the federal government for a while, and I created manuals in those positions as well. But the one manual that I never had, that I always wanted, was a manual for my life. And that's, in fact, what human design has provided. By the way, I'll share a little secret with you. I was actually a closet woo-woo person. Now, that's a term that Karen uses, and I love woo-woo. Even as a preteen, I was fascinated with the Ouija board and astrology and tarot cards, and I taught myself to read cards and continued to do so into my adult life. But I always did it behind closed doors. I never really wanted to be out there and have people know how woo-woo I was, so I was very sort of secretive about it. But when I stumbled across human design in 2008, and I'd say by accident, but I know that there are really no accidents, I was immediately fascinated. And I requested my free chart, just as you all or most of you have requested your free chart from me. And what I learned just from my chart and a free report was totally amazing to me. Suddenly my whole life made sense, like why I never seemed to stay in a job more than 2 years. I mean, I had great jobs, but I never wanted to stay long. I would work like a maniac and kind of burn out and then need time off and want to do something different. And I used to wonder, what's wrong with me? Why can't I stay at a job like other people do? So the biggest thing that I learned from human design immediately was that I stopped feeling like there was something wrong with me. And I think that's one of the biggest gifts that human design provides, because it helps you understand yourself and realize that there's nothing wrong with you. It's just the way you're designed. It also improved my relationship with my significant other, Charlie. Turns out that he's a projector also, and he has great ideas. He has gobs of ideas, and he was often frustrated that I just didn't take his ideas and run with them and just go implement them. And when we finally understood that we were both projectors and that's not our role as projectors, then we realized that it wasn't correct for me to just run with ideas and go implement them. And it really took a whole layer of pressure and stress and frustration off of our relationship and really helped us understand each other so much better. I also was able to help a coaching client by running her free chart just from what I'd learned from a free report. And that really got my attention. I was hooked. Human design is so practical and profound at the same time, and it helps us make better choices. And as I've said, choices are what it's all about. Choices are how we create the life that we have. So we want to make the choices that are as good as we possibly can. So let's talk about human design now. I'm going to introduce human design by asking you a few questions. And I know that you're on mute, so you can just nod your head, and I'll feel it through the phone lines. Have you ever struggled to make the right decisions in your life? Make the right decisions in your relationships? How about your business or career? You know, especially when it comes to the big decisions or the really tough decisions, I think a lot of us really struggle. Would you love to have a reliable strategy for making decisions, a strategy that's specifically correct for you and that would apply to all areas of your life? You know, if you knew with confidence why you're here, your true life purpose, and how you can express your highest potential, wouldn't you feel less stressed, probably less frustrated, less uncertain and hesitant? You'd probably feel more confident, more purposeful, more creative, and almost certainly more joyful. And you'd actually be more effective and more successful in your life and in your work. And this is what human design offers. Human design is a cutting-edge personal assessment tool that shows you your unique design as a human being and how you can most powerfully and effectively live your life, feel fulfilled, and be at peace with yourself and with the world. Human design shows you in detail your personality traits, the recurring themes in your life, your strengths, your areas of potential wisdom, where you carry your deepest pain and what you can do about it, and most importantly, and what we're going to talk about tonight, how to make correct decisions and take correct action specifically for you. When you're doing decisions and actions in the right way for you, those will keep you aligned with fulfilling your purpose in life, and they will really bring out the best in you, the best in your work, and the best in your relationships. Now, as many of you probably know, human design is a synthesis of several ancient systems of wisdom. It draws from astrology, from the I Ching, from the chakra system, and from the Kabbalah, along with the most up-to-date modern quantum physics and astrophysics. It draws from all of these, but it is its own unique system. There are five types of people in human design, and each type has its own strategy for making decisions and taking action for being effective. And the more I learn about human design, the more amazed I am at its depth, at its accuracy, at its power, and its impact. It's like having a how-to instruction manual for your life, which is what I've always wanted, and just about everybody I talk to says that they'd love to have that too. So now get out your human design chart. Make sure you have that handy. And now would be a good time to get your class notes ready as well. As you know, your chart is based on your birth time, date, and place. It is, in fact, a diagram of the astrological influences that were present at the moment of your birth and that created your unique personality characteristics. Like your eye color, your human design does not change over time. However, how you express the energies that you were born with and the characteristics that you have, how you express those can change, and you can evolve to living out the highest expression of your personality and your potential. Life is truly a combination of choice, of free will, and of your design. It's like the choices that we make in life are made from within the framework of the design that we were born with. Your chart shows you how you process energy and how your energy interacts with the world around you. And now we're going to talk about each type individually and the decision and action strategy that's correct for each of you. You know, action is usually what we think of as how to get things done. It's really not the only way to get things done. Intention and desire, which are sort of the emotional part of the journey, are critically important too. But we do live in a three-dimensional world, and we do need to kind of move the mud around down here and to make things happen. And how you make your decisions and how you take your action are critically important so that they're lined up with your inherent energy. This is actually the most important thing that you can learn from human design, and that is how to make decisions and take actions correct for your type. If you're not making decisions and taking action this way, you simply won't fulfill on your greatest potentials because your energies just won't be lined up. Let me put it a different way for you. If you're not living your strategy, your ship may come in, but you'll be at the airport. You know, you just won't be putting out a coherent energy signal into the universe so that you can attract what you truly want in life. So let's talk about the five types and their roles. And I'm going to paint a verbal picture here for you to help you understand each type's role. So imagine for a moment, and you're welcome to close your eyes if you wish, that we're in ancient Egypt and a great pyramid is being built. The first type, the manifestor, is the one who would have gotten the whole project started. Manifestors are here to initiate action. The manifestor would have had the idea, gotten the okay from the pharaoh, gotten the funding, selected the site, had the land cleared, maybe negotiated for the source of stones, you know, all the preliminary work. So that's the manifestor. The next two types I'm going to talk about together, the generators and the manifesting generators. They are the workforce of the world and of our pyramid project. They cut the stones, they haul the stones, they stack the stones on top of each other. They do the physical labor. And they also have the families and raise kids so that there are more workers to complete the pyramid. The fourth type is the projector. Now, the projectors are the ones with the bullhorns telling all the generators and manifesting generators what to do and where to go. Their role is to manage, guide, and direct all the workers. They develop the detailed plans, and they guide the entire project to the end. And by the way, the manifestor is long gone. It is not his or her role to stick around and follow through. They just get things started. Now, the last type is the reflector, and they are very rare, less than 1% of the population. Their role is to reflect the health of the project or family or community that they are part of. If a reflector is happy and doing well, that means that the project is going well. If the reflector is not doing well, then there's some trouble somewhere that needs to be attended to. They're like an early warning signal for us. And they would be the one sitting on the cushion that people, that the project managers would consult to find out how things are going. So let's come back to the present now and see how this affects our lives. So you'll want to get your class notes ready, and we're going to start with the manifestor. The manifestors are 8% of the population. That's your first blank there, 8%. And the role of the manifestor is to initiate action. In fact, they're the only type who is here to initiate action. And the irony, and the fact that they're only 8% of the population, the irony is that we are a just go do it society. You know, how many times have we heard, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, go out and manifest your destiny? Well, the truth is that 92% of us aren't designed to do it that way. We aspire to because our society values that, but that's really not how we're designed. The manifestors are not here to finish things. They're here to start things, and they're also not here to be told what to do. I'll give you an example from Karen. She had a client who was in politics in California who came to her for a reading. Turns out he was a manifestor, and for his entire life, people had been mad at him for starting things and not finishing. And he had tried so hard to force himself to finish things that he'd started that he actually broke down in tears when he heard from her that he didn't need to finish the things he started. He was here to start things. It was just a huge relief to him. Again, he felt like there wasn't anything. He had felt that there was something wrong with him. And when he understood that there wasn't, it was a huge relief. Now, the manifestors do not have consistent access to workforce energy like the generators and the manifesting generators. Manifestors are not here to work in the traditional way we think of as work. They can work extremely hard, and intensely for periods of time, but they don't have sustainable energy, and they can burn out like around age 50 or so if they're pushing with energy that they don't have. They make great consultants and entrepreneurs and artists and people with flexible schedules. Another example, this is a great example, was another client of Karen's. He's an engineer at an engineering firm. He'd been there about 15 years. He was good at his job. He knew what he was doing. He was a project manager, however, and he had just been demoted and taken a pay cut because his clients weren't happy with the work that he was doing. Well, as it turns out, he was a manifester, and he was simply in the wrong job. He's not designed to do the follow-up and follow-through that a project manager needs to do. So he applied for a transfer within his company and started working in the new projects division, which was the perfect fit for him. And he absolutely thrived. He started making more money than he'd ever had because his clients were happy, his company was happy with him, and he was happy. It made all the difference in the world. Now, manifestors have a very powerful effect on people around them. And once they get into their creative flow, they're kind of in their own groove, and they don't really realize how much they impact the people around them. And this brings us to the decision and action strategy for the manifestor, which is on your class notes. So their strategy is to inform. That's the key word for them, is to inform people who are in their impact field. So their strategy is to inform people who are in their impact field. A lot of times they don't inform others because they're afraid that people will tell them that they can't do what they want to do or that they shouldn't do it. They don't want to be stopped, and they don't want to be told what to do and what not to do. Now, manifestor children are also often very controlled by their parents because they are so independent. They're designed to, you know, survive even getting lost in the woods as a child, where other types aren't quite so independent and survival-oriented. But unfortunately, many manifestor children end up being very controlled by their parents, who are afraid for them and want the best for them, but do exert enormous amount of control to try to rein them in. So in relationships, manifestors, again, need to inform. It will soothe and ease your relationships, and you'll find that people won't be as mad at you all the time. There's so much more I could say about manifestors and about each type, but we have limited time, so I'm going to push forward. The next type we'll talk about are the generators. Generators are 37% of the population, and their role is to work and to have families. Those are the two blanks there, work and have families, and that's 37%. Now, the defining characteristic of the generator is sustainable workforce and life force energy. And they are here to do the work. The goal is to provide for their family or their tribe, and to find the right work and the right partner. Now, your sustainable energy as a generator, and this also goes for manifesting generators as well, a lot of similarities between the two. Your sustainable energy comes from your defined sacral motor, which is the red square in your chart. And it operates in response to the outer world. It's a motor, but you can't really initiate. You have to operate in response. But the truth is, you're in a constant responsive dance with the world around you. You're always responding. What we want to do is raise that up to the conscious level so that you're aware of responding and aware of your response and able to use your sacral energy to help you respond. Your sacral is like your navigational tool. It's your inner authority. It's like an inner compass. And when you're obeying your sacral, making decisions according to your sacral responses, you will find you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right work, meeting the right people, and getting the right next opportunities for you. If you're not obeying your sacral, you'll feel off track, you'll struggle, you'll feel frustrated. Frustration is a big theme for both the generators and the manifesting generators. They'll often say, I feel stuck, or I'm frustrated. Now, the strategy for the generator, the decision and action strategy, is to wait to respond. That's the word there, wait to respond with your sacral sounds, and then you take action, but only after responding. Now, the sacral works with vibration, and sound is vibration, and the sacral makes two sounds. Those sounds are uh-huh and uh-uh. And kids actually intuitively make these sounds, apparently in any language, I'm told, until we teach them not to because we think it's impolite to say uh-huh and uh-uh. So it is possible to make those more polite, but I encourage you, If you're a generator or a manifesting generator, start making these sounds. Start responding to your world with uh-huh, uh-uh. And if you need to, you can say uh-huh, yes, please, or uh-uh, no, thank you. But you really want to use that because it will guide you. Your sacral doesn't lie, and it's also very literal, so you better be ready for the answer to the question when you ask your sacral and you get a sacral response. The trick here is to not use your head. You want to keep your head completely out of the equation and only respond from your sacral. And in a full reading that I do with people one-on-one, we do a complete sacral session, so you get to experience what it's like to respond with your sacral, get to see what that feels like, and understand how to use that effectively in your life. It's important that you activate your sacral because everybody benefits. An activated sacral will activate the sacrals around it, like two pianos in a room. If you hold a key down on one piano, the same string on the other piano will vibrate. Well, sacrals are like that too. When you activate your sacral, the others will start buzzing around you. And an active sacral is thirsty to respond. It's actually delicious to be asked questions. There are two ways that you respond. One is to the world around you. Anything outside of your self, outside of your head, is something you can respond to. You also respond to yes or no questions, which is a great way to interact with people with sacrals. I got a couple of examples for you. One of my fellow classmates always thought that she liked chocolate until she was introduced to her sacral, and she was asked in a sacral session if she liked chocolate, and her sacral went, uh-uh. And it was a total and complete surprise to her because she always thought that she liked chocolate. Something similar happened with coffee with another classmate. She always drank coffee and thought she liked it, and her sacral went, uh-uh. She didn't like coffee. Another example also comes from Karen. When she first started learning human design, she was eager to share it with people and wanted to teach a workshop. So she'd taught workshops before, so she knew exactly what to do. She booked a room, and she put out press releases, and she made flyers, and she put them out all over town and was all excited about it. And when the evening came for the workshop, nobody came. Not one person. A few weeks later, she was talking to a friend about human design, and the friend got excited about it and said, oh, Karen, you need to teach a workshop about this. Ah, she had something to respond to, and her sacral went, uh-huh. And as an experiment, she did everything the same way the second time that she'd done the first time. She used the same flyers, just changed the date, put them in the same places, used the same press release, just changed the date, and even booked the same room in the same hotel. But this time she had 27 people show up. You know, having something to respond to aligned the energy in a way that brought people into alignment and brought the people to her who were interested in hearing what she had to say. So that's how that works. You can also practice with your children or your spouse or a friend to ask yes or no questions and practice responding. It's really the most respectful way that you can interact with generators and manifesting generators. Let's talk now about the manifesting generators. They are 33% of the population, and they are also here to work and have families. So they have the same role as a generator, but they do have some differences. But before we talk about the differences, together the manifesting generators and generators comprise 70% of the population. So that's the workforce of the human race. 70% of us are really here to do the work. And it's important that they do the work by responding with their sacral sounds first. Now, let's look at the strategy for the manifesting generator because it's a little bit different in an important way than the generator. The manifesting generator must wait to respond, like the generator, with their sacral sounds, but then they must also inform before they take action. And that's because they share some characteristics with the manifester. And the manifester must inform to be correct with their strategy, and so the manifesting generator must also inform before they take action. Now, the manifesting generator is actually designed to do multiple things at once. You are the busiest type of the five types. You're designed to multitask. You have a fast process. You probably skip steps and may have to go back and fix them. And if you don't have to go back and fix them, then you probably didn't need to really do them in the first place. And that's perfect for you because you're really designed to find the fastest way through things. and you will look faster than the generator, although in the end you'll probably both end up in the same place, but because you skip forward and have to go back and fix, where the generator has a much more deliberate process, but that you're both just as capable. Now, the manifesting generator can look like you're all over the place because you've got a lot going on, but if you're responding to your sacral, then you'll have the sustainable energy to manage multiple projects and whatever you've got going on. If you're not doing the right work for you, you can burn out, and that's why it's worth waiting to respond. But you manifesting generators out there, don't let anybody tell you to slow down or just pick one thing to do, because you're just not designed that way. Now, some people at first think that waiting to respond is very restrictive, especially you manifesting generators. What do you mean, wait? I don't wait for anything. I just go out and make things happen. Well, a lot of times you're going to be pushing a rock up a hill to make things happen because your energy isn't right for just taking action. You need to respond first. It's actually very liberating to respond first. And there's nothing better for you than to find the right work and the right partner in life. And by using your sacral, you'll be able to do those. You'll avoid frustration from trying to initiate when you shouldn't initiate. And by responding, you get to work with your energy, and you actually unleash your powerful life force energy. Again, there's so much more I could say. Here's a real quick example. One of my classmates had people coming to stay at her home, and she wanted to buy some pastries for breakfast, and she went to the pastry shop and couldn't decide what to get because she didn't have anything specific to respond to. She was just looking at this whole array of pastries. So she had the lady behind the counter point to one item at a time and ask her, do you want this one? And she went, uh-uh. Okay, next one. Do you want that one? Uh-uh. Do you want this one? Uh-huh. And that's how she was able to make her choices. It's a little thing, but you can actually learn to use your sacral for the big things as well as the little things in life. A very good friend of mine is a manifesting generator. Her husband's a generator. When they were out and about running errands and it was lunchtime, it would take them, you know, half an hour or more to figure out where to go to eat. It was just, well, where do you want to eat? Oh, I don't know. Where do you want to eat? Well, now my manifesting generator friend takes matters into her own hands, and she asks her husband, do you want Mexican food? Uh-uh. Do you want Chinese food over here? Uh-uh. Do you want pizza? How about we go to that little pizza place? Uh-huh. And in less than a minute, the decision is made. It cuts off so much time and so much frustration. So that's among the ways to use your sacral. Very important for you. All right, we're going to move on to projectors now. The projector is 21% of the population, and the role of the projector is to manage, guide, and direct others. So it's 20% and here to manage, guide, and direct others. And projectors are actually here to know others better than to know yourselves. You have no sacral motor, so you don't have sustainable workforce and life force energy. In fact, sustainability is an issue for you with energy. But you are here to become wise about how to use energy and how to help others use their energy wisely. That's our role as projectors. We're not here to initiate, but we are here to do, but we need others to do that with. We are truly people who need other people. And we take in other people's sacral energy and we amplify it so we can be super doers. We can be the Energizer Bunny on steroids for short periods of time, but we do burn out and we need to take a break. We are simply not designed to work in the traditional way that we think of as work in our society. And a projector who is pushing with energy they don't have and trying to be sustainable can start to fall apart around 35 to 45 years old. Many will come down with autoimmune diseases or other things that force them to take time off. And hopefully you don't put yourself in that position, but it's not uncommon for projectors to have that happen. Projectors can sometimes be called lazy because we don't have that sustainable energy, but we're really not lazy. We work very hard. We just don't have the sustainable type of energy that generators and manifesting generators do. And they're the majority. So, you know, we're definitely in the minority and we're often called attention to that. Projectors will gain clarity about decisions by talking with others because we have no sacral response to guide us, so we need to use other ways to make our decisions. Now, the strategy for the projector is to wait to be invited. That's a key word for projectors, to wait to be invited into the big things in life and to wait to be recognized or asked before speaking. So those are those next two blanks to fill in. Wait to be invited into the big things and wait to be recognized or asked before speaking. Now, invitation is interesting. An invitation must be clear and personal. It's very different than responding, which is what the generators and manifesting generators do. A response is, an invitation is really personal and clear. But it doesn't mean that you're a wallflower and that you do nothing while you're waiting for invitations. Once you're invited into a situation or into a job, you can take action like a manifesting generator or even a manifester. Let me give you a few examples. President Obama is a projector. He was invited into his role as president by being elected. Now that he has been invited, he can take all the action that he needs to take. He doesn't have to wait for further invitations. There are quite a number of other powerful, well-known projectors. John Kennedy was. Woody Allen is a projector. Barbara Streisand. Marilyn Monroe. Hugh Hefner, and even Lance Armstrong. Now, there's someone who is not a wallflower. He pushes himself very hard. He's a projector. We'll see how long his body lasts, but so far he's been quite amazing. So the key is to not sit idle while you're waiting for the invitation to come. You want to be with others, you want to be yourself, and you want to be clear about your desires and your intentions. And mostly, you want to prepare yourself so that when the invitation that you want does arrive, you're ready. You're ready to step right into it. So follow your bliss and do what feels right for you. Projectors make great consultants and managers, and they do need a flexible schedule. A projector will need to take a nap sometimes, and if you can, definitely do that. And regarding the invitations, you really only want to accept the invitations that are absolutely delicious to you. You know, sometimes it can take a long time to get a big invitation. The big invitations we're talking about are job, career, marriage, moving, the big things in life. And those don't come around all the time. It may be a year or two before you get an invitation. But you need to not take it just because you finally get an invitation. You really want to wait for something that feels right. And you want to use your authority. If you're emotional, you'll have to wait through your emotional wave. If you're splenic, you will be right in the moment. And that's the kind of detail that we cover in your human design reading. That's something that we spend time on because it's very important that you understand how to accept those invitations and also for everyone how to use your sacral and how to follow your inner guidance, whatever's right for you. Now, if you are not waiting to be recognized before you're speaking, you probably won't be heard, or you'll be rejected, or you'll be ignored. Projectors have great wisdom. You really deserve to be heard and to have your words and your knowledge have a positive impact on people, which is what you want. But if people aren't ready to hear what you have to say, if they haven't asked, if you're pushing your opinions or your advice or your ideas on people, they're not going to hear them, and they're probably going to feel irritated, and it just won't have the impact that you know you can have. So I really recommend that you wait. The best strategy to be heard is to wait and be quiet, to wait until someone asks or recognizes you. If you have something you have to share, you can soften it by saying something like, I have an idea about that, and I share it with you, or I have some insight about that, or I have some experience with this. Would it be all right if I tell you about that? And that sets up that energetic interaction in a way that people at least are responding and inviting you to say more. And then you have that opening into which you can speak and you'll be heard better. Projectors can also become bitter when they're consistently rejected or ignored. That's tough. We have so much to offer, but when things just don't seem to work and we don't understand why, we can become bitter and a little bit angry even. And the sad irony, though, is that the more bitter we become, the less we're going to attract invitations. I mean, who wants to invite somebody who's bitter? So, when you're following your strategy, you'll be able to stay out of the bitterness and respond to the invitations that come. And when you're clear about what you want, your aura will speak volumes. You don't need to say anything. You will begin to attract the invitations to you that will put you in the right place at the right time. So wait to be asked and wait for those invitations. Okay, we're going to talk briefly about reflectors. We don't have any on the call this evening, but you may know someone who's a reflector. They are the rarest type of all. They are less than 1% of the population. And their role is to reflect the health of their community. That's that blank there, to reflect the health. And their decision and action strategy is to wait 28 days before making important decisions. And they must talk to others about their decisions. So 28 days and they must talk. They are very open beings. As I mentioned earlier, they have no defined centers on their chart. They are here to be a barometer, be an early warning signal for the communities and families that they are a part of. A happy reflector is part of a happy community. They're really not here for themselves. They're really here for others. And because they are so affected by what's around them, they are actually affected by the phases of the moon, and they have a rather predictable 28-day cycle where the moon moves through all of 64 gates in the human design system. And we talk about gates in a full human design reading. But that means that the reflector is being or experiencing a lot of different personality characteristics every 28 days. And because they are so changeable, they need to wait through the whole 28-day cycle before they can make a decision. And that can be tough in today's world where everything has to be go, 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 fast, fast, fast. So it takes time for them to gain clarity, though. So they have to take that time and they have to talk about their decisions. And what they experience when they are not following their strategy is disappointment. They get deeply disappointed in people not living up to their potential. And they get deeply disappointed that that things don't fall into place and that they're not in a place that feels good to them. But they're here to become deeply wise about the grand spectrum of human potential. And they also need a consistent group of friends that they feel good with and who can listen to and support them. They need that consistency because they themselves are so changeable. And like the manifestor and the projector, the reflector has no consistent sacral energy, so they need to rest when they're tired, and they need time alone to discharge that extra energy that they pick up from people. And that's true for the manifestor and the projector as well. Now, reflectors are sensitive by design, and their inner authority is simply feeling good. If they feel good where they are, then they're in the right place. If they don't, then they need to follow their strategy, wait 28 days to make a decision, and then they can take action. Now, I'd like to cover some frequently asked questions that people come up with when I do readings or mini readings or at fairs. So I thought it'd be useful to address a few of these. So the first one is there a right decision? You know, that's a really good question. Is there really a right decision or a right answer in a decision that needs to be made? And how do I know if something is really a right choice for me? Well, the simple answer is follow your strategy. In fact, that's the actual answer for all of these questions, but I'll elaborate some. Making a decision is not about information or analysis. Those are useful, but they're not where you want to be actually making your decision from. If you have sacral energy, you want to be using your sacral to make your decision. If you don't have sacral energy, you want to be following your strategy and using your inner authority to make your decisions. The analysis is useful for up to a point, but you don't want to be making your choices from analysis or just from data. And you want to enter into relationships, jobs, careers, moving according to your strategy. And when you're following your strategy, you will find the right decision for you. It may feel weird at first. It may seem like this doesn't make sense, but there'll be a reason for it. It will put you in the right place to meet the right person that takes you to the next right choice. Which brings us to our second question, how do I trust myself? How do I trust that gut feeling, especially if the choice doesn't seem logical? And again, it's follow your strategy and practice. You got to practice following your strategy. Practice with small things and work up to the big decisions. But when you're following your strategy, the universe will bring you what you want. You know, your job is really to sense what the right timing is and to not beat yourself up in the process. Question number three, when do I listen to others and when do I listen to myself? How do I weigh the impact of my choices on others versus meeting my own needs? again, your inner guidance will steer you to what is best for you, and what is best for you is usually going to be what's best for the people around you, even though they may not think so at first. If you are emotional, you do need to wait for your emotional wave, and again, we talk about that in a reading. The projector needs to wait for that delicious invitation, and it's not about listening to others, and it's not about listening to your head. It's about using your inner guidance and authority. The manifestor will often need to try things before they know if something is right for them, because they don't have a sacral to listen to and they don't need invitations. So it's harder for them in some ways to know what's right for them. But as long as they're informing, then they're following their strategy and they will find what is right for them. Now, number four, how do I prioritize, stop procrastinating, and actually follow through? Well, again, follow strategy. If you're following strategy, you're not going to be scattered. You're not going to be putting your energy into a whole bunch of things that don't actually feel right and aren't right for you. So it's easier to prioritize and to not procrastinate and to follow through when you're doing the right things that feel right for you and your type. You know, if you can avoid it, don't force yourself to do something if you're not responding. Don't force yourself to work out if your sacral hasn't responded to working out, or if your projector, if you haven't been invited. You know, again, sense the right timing. If you're not beating up on yourself all the time, then when the timing is right, you'll actually feel it, and it'll feel good, and it'll feel good to take that action. But if you're all beaten up because you're beating up yourself, and then nothing will feel right to you, and you'll miss your greatest opportunities. So you want to go easy on yourself and just learn to follow your strategy. And that's what we work on in a reading. Well, that pretty much wraps up our discussion about the five types and their strategies. So I would like to now tell you a personal story about a vacation that I took a few years ago with my significant other, Charlie. Now, this is actually relevant to human design, so please bear with me. How many of you have been on vacation before, somewhere where you've never been before? What do we often do? Some of us will just kind of wing it on vacation, you know, just go with no prepared plans ahead of time. And sometimes that works, and sometimes it kind of doesn't, like when the hotels are all booked and the weather turns nasty and you aren't prepared for it because you didn't know. And so it doesn't always work out. A lot of us will do the research and the planning. We'll go to the internet. We'll use the guidebooks. And by the way, your style of this, whether you're a planner or a wing it type person, that's in your chart. It's in the profile that's in your chart. And it's something I cover in readings with people. Now, the planners among us will figure out what we want to see and do in the limited time we have. We'll lay out an itinerary, maybe a time schedule even, prearrange hotels and transportation, maybe dinner reservations and tours, that sort of thing. And the point of all of that, of course, is to have the trip go as smoothly and be as enjoyable as possible, right? Well, so on to my story. In 2002, Charlie and I went to Paris for 2 weeks in July. Now, we had been there together once before this particular trip, the year before, because we had the amazing good fortune of cat-sitting for the brother of a friend of mine on both trips. Now, this friend's brother, the one with the cat, had a lovely studio apartment in the heart of Paris in a really nice little neighborhood in the third arrondissement. And all we had to do was feed the cat once a day, play with him a little bit, and flush the toilet after him. Seriously, he was a toilet-trained cat. It was totally awesome. Now, on our previous visit, we had seen all the main attractions in Paris, you know, the Eiffel Tower, the Champs-Élysées. We'd gone up in the Arc de Triomphe. We'd gone to Notre-Dame Cathedral and Sacré-Cœur up on the hill and Montmartre, you know, all the standard things. Now, maybe some of you have been to Paris. It's a gorgeous city. I love Paris. But on this particular trip that I'm telling the story about, we had something that we hadn't had before. We had Rick Steves' guidebook to Paris. Now, how many of you are familiar with Rick Steves? He has the Europe Through the Back Door series of guidebooks and a whole bunch of PBS specials on travel. He's really quite wonderful. So this time we had his guidebook, and it wasn't just any guidebook, it was his guidebook, which is very excellent guidebook. It gave us fascinating details about places that we had seen, and we went back and saw them again because now we knew more, gave us history about them, gave us tips for when to go to certain places and when to avoid certain places because of the crowds. We were able to get a fast pass that got us into museums without waiting in long lines because of his guidebook. We had terrific walking tours from the guidebook and information about those little-known gems and sort of off-the-beaten-path little terrific delights that are not in most guidebooks. And this is because Rick Steves has spent countless hours researching and visiting and experimenting and experiencing Paris over many years, and we got to benefit from that knowledge and that wisdom. And it was as a result of following his guidance that we actually had a deeper, richer, broader, and more enjoyable, and frankly, more satisfying experience during our vacation. It was a more informed experience. We had a broader perspective and actually a greater appreciation for what we were seeing, and we found all sorts of wonderful things that we wouldn't have found otherwise. We found an underground museum at the foot of Notre Dame Cathedral that shows the Roman ruins on top of which present-day Paris is built. It was fascinating. We also had the best frozen sorbet in the world at a tiny little place on the Ile Saint-Louis. And we attended a concert in a 12th century church with amazing acoustics and gorgeous stained glass windows. So the bottom line is we had a greatly enhanced experience because we had a great guidebook. And really, isn't life kind of like that too? If you had a guidebook for your life, if you knew where to look for the real gems in your life, wouldn't you have a better experience? You could avoid the pitfalls and just have a smoother and more satisfying experience in life. When you know where to look for your wisdom and your strengths and how you can make the most of those, you have more confidence. Your life starts to flow more easily, and you do attract into your life what you really want. It enables you to consistently make choices and decisions that are lined up with your greater purpose and your inborn energetic structure. And I tell you, I promise you, your life starts to unfold in magnificent ways. You move forward with ease, and you have a deeply satisfying life path. But as with vacations, just having a map isn't enough, even when it's a good map. The first year Charlie and I were in Paris, we had a good map, but it wasn't the same as having a good guidebook. And your human design chart is like a map. It's a map to your life. It's actually a map to your soul. But it's your human design reading that is like the guidebook that goes with the map. Like the guidebook that gives you the fabulous information that transforms an okay vacation into a fabulous one, your human design reading can actually transform your I'm doing okay life into a I love my life. And that's really what I want for you. Your human design reading, it's like that comprehensive guidebook that's written specifically for you. And I would love to be your guide by giving you your human design reading so I can show you how to interpret and use the map and the amazing instructions and information that are all contained in your human design chart. Your chart has such a wealth of information about you and how you can make your life work better. It really holds the keys for your success and your fulfillment in life. So I sincerely invite you to take advantage of this amazing resource and make the rest of your life like the vacation of a lifetime, a richer, deeper, and more satisfying experience. And I thank all of you who have been on the call. I thank you sincerely for your time and for your attention. And I hope that you found the information not only interesting, but also practical, and that you go home and start using what you've learned right away. That's really the true test of something. And I encourage you to experiment with it and play with it and see what you can learn from it as you apply it to your life. And I sincerely hope to have the opportunity to work with each of you and to share your human design with you. It's such a powerful and empowering thing to learn about yourself. So thank you very much, and good night, everybody.